for several reasons, but one of the most important reasons is that we come so that we can get ourselves exposed, to God's Word. The purpose of God's Word is actually revelation. We say God gives us His revelation of Himself and of His will, and we say that is why God has given us the Word, in order to reveal. Well, it works two ways. God not only reveals things to us, but He reveals things about us, things that are true about us. And that is why when we look into God's Word looks into us. I'm going to read a passage that is the passage that I've come to in my preaching through the book of Hebrews. I'm coming to the passage where it talks about that. It's only two verses, so we didn't have it read as our scripture reading. And I usually don't read from the translation, but I like the way it's written, and it describes a little bit the way I'm going to describe it in the passage about the cutting edge of the Word. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13 in the New Revised Standard Version. And earlier we had read from the New Living Translation. But indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before Him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the One to whom we must render an account. Now this passage about the all-revealing Word is the title of this message, the all-revealing Word. This passage is about the all-revealing Word, and it seems, if you look at it carefully, it seems to mix God's Word with Himself. It mixes it up. It says, it first of all, talking about His Word, and it says, nothing is invisible to Him. Everything is visible to Him. Nothing is hidden from Him. And it's talking about God. It's talking about, it's almost like it mixes the two together. And there's a reason for that. It's because God's all-revealing Word is just like His nature as God. And I'm going to show how that is. It's related to God's nature. Now, God is a Trinity of persons, a Trinity of a society, in a sense, of three persons who are so closely connected, so closely related in being, that they are one God, Yahweh, the eternal I Am, and also called love. We read that in the passage of Great is the Lord's Listening. God is light, God is love, and greatly to be praised. Well, love is manifested in various ways, and one of the essential parts of Trinitarian love is openness. God is so open that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are so exposed to one another that they are actually called light. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. It says in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. All because God is pure light. There is no in-between barrier between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are totally bare to one another. They are totally exposed to one another. It's part of this oneness, this love relationship. Now, when this triune God created us, we know how He created us in Genesis. He created us totally without any kind of covering. We were totally naked. That relates a little bit to this Word. Now, that's why I'm describing this, because we're looking at the nature of the Word and the nature of God, and why the two are so closely related. Well, when we were made that way, we were totally exposed to one another and totally open. And God, while we were in that state, God said, multiply and fill the earth. Because He wanted that image of Himself, that social openness, to be reflected in the society of humanity. That social openness. And so we were going to have a world filled with naked people, totally open to each other, except something happened. Sin happened. Sin entered in. And our first parents, when they sinned, started hiding themselves immediately. Immediately, they hid from each other with fig leaves. And that was, in a sense, that was the social hiding that started off right there, the very first thing. And it was a social hiding from each other, and it damaged the social reflection of God's social image of oneness and openness. Okay? But secondly, there was another kind of hiding that they did. They ran to some bushes to hide from God. And immediately when God found them, they began to try to hide with excuses. And this thing of sin and hiding, they're two sides of the same coin. And it's like, as soon as we sin, we try to make excuses. As soon as we sin, we first try to cover. Little children do that. You know, when they've done something wrong, oh no, I wasn't, yeah, I was over there, I wasn't here. You know, and they immediately try to hide. Well, when God's Son, in the incarnation, came into this world to undo the damage that had been done through sin, how was he identified? And this is closely related to the Trinity's expression of the Godhead in coming in Christ and showing us God. And here's how Jesus is described by John, the Apostle John. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is identified as the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And skipping down a little bit in that passage, in him was life. Life. And the life was the light of men. And it says that was the true light which gives love to every man that comes into the world. So Christ the Word reveals God to us. That's what the Word is supposed to do, reveal, right? So God, the Word in Christ, reveals God to us. But his light shows us up. He is light, the true light, and it reveals us before God. We are totally naked and open, and God can see every part of our being right into our heart. Well, Jesus is the Word. He is the life that gives light to the human race, whether we recognize it or not. God has a conscience inside of us that echoes what the Word does for us. The conscience keeps on, and you know, people can actually sin against their conscience and try to fool their conscience to the point that they become numb to their conscience. But it just takes the Holy Spirit to wake the conscience up a little bit. And that's what happens when people get converted. When they have numbed themselves through sin and they don't recognize that they're sinning, and the Lord reaches in to that light that was in them originally, that light that lights every man that comes into the Word, and the Holy Spirit gives it a nudge and says, wake up, come on, conviction, come on, show the truth about the inside. Well, God's Word is described in verse 12, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and shall divide soul from spirit, joints from marrow. God's Word, God's all-revealing Word, has penetrating power. And this little illustration here of the double-sided sword, it goes beyond surface appearances. It goes right into the heart. It goes right into the heart where the soul and the spirit are joined. And sometimes our soul follows the spirit. That's when we're a Christian. Or sometimes the spirit is sort of chained to the soul. The soul is going after all kinds of things in the world. And the Word of God comes in and divides and says, and goes right down to the very heart of us. And it says that it goes down to the joints and the marrow. You know, the joints that hold us together. What makes us? What makes us be who we are? And what holds us together as a person? God goes right into that matter of us, that being of us. And what is the marrow? The model is the center of the bone. It's like the center of us, physically. And God goes to the very, very center, to the very center of our being, through His Word. And it's interesting because this was written with the Jews in mind, in the book of Hebrews. And they understood animal sacrifices, and they understood that the animals had to be divided up and laid on the altar, completely exposed, the inside. And you know, we say, why did God give all of these illustrations? Why did God give all these rituals in the Old Testament? And many times it's because God wanted to give us an illustration of what the Word did in this passage here. Of what the Word actually does for us, of laying us bare, of pulling us apart, and just putting us out all on the table and says, okay, what needs repair here? What needs to be fixed? And that's what the Word does. And when Jesus was described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, it's an awesome portrayal of the resurrected and the exalted Christ Jesus. Here's how He is described. And this is also from the New Revised Standard Version. From His mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and His face was like the sun shining in all its fullness. When there's sunshine in my soul today, that sunshine lightens things up, and if there's any darkness there, it'll show it up. The sharp word of God's mouth, the word that comes from God's mouth, it can cut through any bushes. You know, like the people that go ahead of the people on a safari, they've got these machetes that are chopping through the bushes so that people can get through. Well, God's Word cuts through any bush that we hide behind. It cuts through any excuse that we try to make for our behavior if it doesn't meet God's standards. God's Word is like that, like a sharp, two-edged sword. And His light, the light of His countenance, it's penetrating. It's so powerfully penetrating, it goes right to our inside and brings everything to full view. You know, laser beam, it's interesting, the laser beam, I remember when I was in high school, and there was a guy who was a senior ahead of us, and he was studying lasers. He was studying laser beams, and he had actually made a model of a little tiny, tiny laser beam. Now you can buy those in the store with a couple of things and you can make pointers. He had actually made one, and people give him money, a whole bunch of endowments, in order to do this little project in high school. He was a very intelligent guy, and he made this little laser for thousands of dollars, and now you can buy one. But laser beams have revolutionized surgery, and many of you know that. People have had laser surgery, and it's because what is sharper than any two-edged scalpel? Well, light. Light is sharper than any two-edged scalpel if it's focused. And that is what happens when the focus of God's eyes comes upon us. And He focuses it sometimes through the microscopic or telescopic lens, whichever He needs, of the Word on our hearts. It's amazing how God does that. They invented laser beams, but God had one for years and years for heart surgery. Now humans can look at actions and judge them in a sense because they're external. But humans cannot judge the heart. They're not supposed to. In fact, one teacher told me that if you do this, it can lead to mental illness. Because it's only God's area, it's God's territory to look into the human heart with His Word and to judge the Word. But all thoughts and all motives will be revealed someday, will be revealed in God's light, it says in Mark chapter 4. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Every single thing, even the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Now, ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, sin and hiding have gone together, hand in hand. Sin and therefore hiding. Sin and hiding. It was immediate. But hiding can destroy us. Hiding, the lack of openness, destroys families.
the lack of openness destroys nations. And if everything was open, a lot of people would change their behavior in the government, especially. We find out about it once in a while. Sometimes there's a little magnifying glass or a little spotlight view that comes from the media. But I think the media sometimes is a little bit controlled, and they don't show everything. It's because there's things that happen in our government, in our institutions, that people want to hide. And they will be hidden until a day is coming when it will all be revealed. That often makes people tremble. And it often makes them say, well, then I can't really hide, so why not live properly now? Why not live properly now? I wish this word could be heard. I wish everybody could be under this word and the preaching of this word. And they need to be. Because we need God's laser surgery now. We need it today. We were reading in the passage of Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time for salvation to happen. Today. And that's what we need, God's laser surgery today. The word of God can reveal that which is hidden in our hearts. But that which is hidden in our hearts needs healing. And that revealing of the word is the step to healing by the word. Well, God's word also helps us prepare to meet him. Adam and Eve, actually, they were trying to hide from God. Now, that's strange. They were trying to hide from God. Because verse 13, was as much reality then as it is today. God has not changed. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render account. God's word is in a sense today, God's word shining in this world, it's like a spotlight in the night. And that spotlight is focused on that which one day will be in broad daylight. So there's a day coming where God's word will be throughout the whole world shining. You know, Jesus is called the Word, and Jesus is also called the light of heaven. There is no need for sun, and there is no night there, because the Lord himself will give you light. It will be Jesus shining, the Son of Righteousness. Well, God's word is like that spotlight, showing what the future will be. I have mentioned him often, Sadhu Sundar Singh. I really appreciate him. He used to have some visions. He had visions of going to heaven, and when he was in heaven, and he saw people, he saw something very strange. They were wearing their insides of their hearts on their outside, like clothing. You could see right through. You know, some people say, when we go to heaven, we'll be naked. Well, we might. But we're not. That naked is not going to be bad. The nakedness is going to be bad, is what it's talking about in the Word, with the stuff laid out on the inside on the altar, and it's down to the soul and the spirit laid out, the joints separated, the marrow right to the insides of the bones. And he said people were wearing their behaviors and their attitudes and their thoughts. They were wearing them on the outside, and they could see them. They were totally naked. That is an awesome thought. So this word is our exposing ourselves to this word is our salvation. This is our deliverance from that kind of nakedness. Because we will not be ashamed to open ourselves before him. You know, it's really interesting because in that vision that Sadhu Sundar Singh had, because people knew they were being seen that way, many of them fled away from the light to try to get to hell. Hey, that's strange, isn't it? He said they were running as fast as they could because the light was exposing their inside. Now that's an interesting thought. This is what the Word of God is like. This Word that we get ourselves under when we have preaching or when we have reading of the Bible, and hopefully we do that not just on Sundays. God's Word is helping us by scrutinizing us. Soren Kierkegaard was a great philosopher, Christian philosopher. Here's something he wrote. It's very interesting. Christian truth itself has eyes to see us with. In fact, it is all eyes. That's very disquieting.
think of looking at a painting and discovering that the painting was looking at you. Precisely such is the case with Christian truth. It is looking back at me to see whether I will do what it says I should do. Isn't that interesting?
That's why it starts off here. It says the Word is alive and active. It's alive and it's looking at us when we look into it. Well, God's Word exposes our pretenses, exposes our excuses. It strips us down bare to bare soul, just to who we are. And it makes us face a choice, either to change our behavior or to run back in the bushes and cover ourselves up with fig leaves again, or try to anyway. And the problem with that, you can't do it that long. You cannot do it that long. But it's a choice that we have every single time we come to the Word. James describes this in chapter 1. He says, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. He will be blessed because he will be cleansed. We need this light from God's Word. It's like, have you ever gone into the bathroom to look at yourself in the mirror? What do you have to do if it's night? You have to turn the light on, don't you? You have to turn the light on. And we need a well-lighted mirror if we're going to wash our face or cleanse ourselves or shave or if we're going to see how much weight we need to lose. He said, I looked at myself in the mirror today, but the light was off. And I skipped the exercise program today. And I went ahead and broke my diet, too. Because I wasn't looking in the mirror and seeing what I needed to lose. You know, we need a well-lighted mirror. And when we have that, we can, like James said, we can look at it and say, oh, well, and then forget it, or walk away. Or we can change. We can ask God to help us. And we can stand there and let God analyze us, scrutinize us. Jesus said this about avoiding God's Word. He said this, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what has been done through God. Notice it says, what they have done themselves. No, that's not what we see. If we see anything that we have done, we know that it's not going to make it. But it's what Jesus has done through us, through his Holy Spirit. He's doing a work in us. It's a work, and it needs the Word. It needs exposure to the Word. Sometimes we run away. Sometimes we want to hide in different things in this world, in different things in this life. And we're not looking at the inside of us. We're sort of developing a pretense, and we accept that pretense as our real selves. It's not. The pretenses and the excuses, they are not us. They are to hide the inside. No, we need to pull the inside open and say, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, see if there be a wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's what was made in the song that we sang, that verse of the song. Well, when I was in the trauma center, we got really good at this. A patient who was coming in trauma, the first thing that they never was able to take their clothes off in the rig, in the ambulance, because they were trying to get them as fast as they could. All they tried to do is get IVs in. What we had to do when they get there, we got these really big scissors, and we started at their pant leg or what, and we started cutting really fast. And we started cutting just like that. We cut everything off of them. We pulled the clothes off of them. They were totally naked so that we could start treating them and maybe saving their lives. And you would be starting IVs. Two people would be starting IVs in both ways if they didn't have one. You'd be, what they used to say, put tubes and fingers in every hole or orifice to try to find out what's going on. And it's like, wow. In a sense, God's Word cuts through everything. It cuts through everything
that we have dressed ourselves up in, and we have thought, that's us. It's what's on the inside, and that's what, where God needs to go. And so we cut through to get to the real us. And then, when we get to the real us, we can help make us spiritually well again if we are suffering on the inside. All of us, it says, are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. How can we escape this nakedness before God? It's easy. Don't open the Bible. And if you do open the Bible, don't read it. And if you do read it, don't believe it. And the devil tries to make it so you don't. And he tries all kinds of ways, like this Da Vinci Code thing, to try to get us to not trust this word, because if we trust this word, it will penetrate our hearts and show us our real self so that we can be delivered from any darkness. Because darkness is not going to make it up there. We need deliverance from darkness. Darkness will be expelled. There is no darkness in heaven. And there is no night there. But an escape like that, escaping from such darkness, or such escaping from this nakedness before God, if you do it, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. Because there is a day coming. And Jesus said this, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. This word, which is our laser beam surgery tool to help us right now, is also the word that will someday, if we do not listen to it, it will be our judge. Jesus said. So, right now, God is trying to help us to prepare to meet him. Let none of us wait. Let none of us wait until that day to have our hearts exposed. Oh, let us get before the Word. Let the Word open our hearts now. Look into God's Word today, and God's Word will look into you. Let's pray. Father God, your Word is awesome. It's always been awesome. And Lord, what I have said today, all of us have experienced again and again and again in our lives, where your Word has exposed our hearts many times when we had covered it up with something. You just got right in there, cut through it all, cut through our excuses, cut through our fig leaves, and we tried to dress up and hide. And Lord, showed our real self to each other and to ourselves. And Lord, many times the church needs this. Lord, we need to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we might be healed. And Lord, that word helps us to do that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people who will continue to look into intently into the Word of God, so that your Word can expose us, can heal us, and make us well spiritually. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.